from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning today with verse 13. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise also us with Jesus and will bring us with you into His presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of the Father. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I am pleased to know that there was an event in the history of Ripley known as Cow Day. Did I get it correct? How about that? And we had a winner of one such occasion. I wonder if that cow was a bell cow. Have you ever heard that expression? A bell cow was, to say it another way, the lead cow, right? The one that the others followed. The one that it, legend says, the farmers of old, when even before they had fenced in places for their cattle to roam, would place the cow with the lead purpose, would give that cow a bell. And I guess it was twofold. It was where the other cows would know always where it was, but I guess if it was a good bell cow, they didn't get far away from it anyway, did they, Lamont? But it was also so the owner of the cattle could find the herd, because he knew where he heard the bell. There would be the bell cow and all of its followers. Such is the impact of leaders, the bell cows in our community. In our church, in the faith, in work, there are those who others are willing to follow. And when you think about the bell cows in our culture, in our community, in our faith, maybe the question arises, well, who gets to choose? Or in other words, who gets to lead? How do we determine who we will follow, and how do we decide ourselves if we will be a leader? Such a question was posed once to a leadership expert, and they asked, how do you decide who gets to lead, coach? Who is the leader among us? And he answered it with this response: asking who will lead is like asking who will sing tenor in the church choir. Who gets to lead is just like who gets to sing tenor. Whoever can do it. If you can do it, you lead. If you're equipped with that gift, others will follow. It comes forth naturally and inspirationally for others. Now, that's not to say that we can't hone our leadership skills and the gifts with which we serve our community, our place of work, and our church. We can sharpen as any sword can be sharpened to be used more effectively. We too can sharpen our skills that we have been gifted with from God on high. When we think of leadership in the church, it's hard to consider such a gift without considering the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. One who was in many ways the leader of the early church growth. As Peter was the rock with which the church was built upon, Paul became the evangelist to take it to the far reaches of the world and write the overwhelming majority of our New Testament that we claim as God's Word even today. Paul, indeed, was a leader in faith and practice. And in our text today, as we consider this passage that was written in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth, we're reminded of some of the principles that Paul embodied as a leader of the faith. And certainly they can provide guidance for our life, in our work, in our faith, in our community, on our teams, as we seek to serve the world to the glory of our Father through the love of the Son by the power of the Spirit. That's our desire as leaders of the faith. And it seems if we consider one of the attributes Paul had, that the bell cow is a model for us. A cow is only going to follow another cow if they trust them. Right? It's pretty simple if you're cows. They want to go where there's a lot of green grass and there's a cool spot. You know, I noticed that driving over today. I saw some cattle. And they had found a shade in the pasture, the only shade there was, and they were huddled around like they were giving away free salt licks right there at the cow under the shade tree. And every once in a while, you'll see a group of cattle in the pond itself, cooling off. They're smart. And they didn't learn that on their own. They trusted the lead cow to show them the way. We see in our faith, when we hear this passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians, Paul, at some portion of this passage in chapter 10, he begins to rebuke the church of Corinth in some way. Not just the church in general, but a certain group. A small group. It's always a small group, right? The dissenters. The ones who were stirring up trouble in the church. And Paul began to call it to their attention. And one of his greatest challenges, or one of the most threatening things Paul felt challenging him, was the lack of trust by this certain group. Trust is essential. If we're going to be effective in leading other people, they have to trust us, much as cattle surely have to trust their bell cow. You're only going to go and walk in the path of those who've earned your trust. Paul was one who cherished having the trustworthiness of the people of Corinth. And that's what inspired much of his frustration in that portion of this letter to the church in Corinth. Another gift, though, that Paul reminds us of leadership in the church, here that we see expressed specifically in his relationship with the Corinthians, it was chronicled once by Professor J. Sampley, who said there's no greater example in all of Scripture of a loving relationship with a pastor or a leader and his people than that relationship that Paul had with the church at Corinth. There was an intimacy. There was a love that Paul had for these believers. And it's understandable that Paul would express his love in that first book. We remember it, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, what many of us call the love chapter. It was Paul's relationship with these people that inspired those beautiful words to define what love is. He said, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, but love insist on the truth. He said, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Friends, Paul proclaimed that love never ends. That was the relationship that Paul had for a church, much as ours. to speak and proclaim love. Friends, that's how we lead. As a church, as a congregation that's going to be a leader in this community, we are called to embody the spirit of Paul and indeed lead with love. People know if you truly care. Haven't we? Many of us heard that expression. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. If we hope to lead a nation, a people, an individual, a ball team, they must know that we have genuine concern and compassion and love for them. Such was the nature of Paul's leadership with the church in Corinth. Another attribute that Paul possessed in his relationship with the church in Corinth, that not only was he loving, but at times he was tough. I think we call that tough love, right? Many of us parents know about tough love. Some of us children know about tough love. We've experienced it, correct? Tough love, that ability to not only love, but to correct when correction needs to be administered. Bobby Martin, my friend and many of yours, has told me on more than one occasion that our beloved O.C. Thomas taught him how to be a banker. And he said, not only did O.C. teach me how to be a banker, she taught me how to manage people. He said she was a master, Lynn, at leadership. He said, I've never seen anyone that could bring a person into their office, chew that person out, and make them feel good about it. Now that's a gift. He said she would express her displeasure in a loving way. That's what I call tough love. Did you ever experience that, Doc? Tough love. Paul was such a leader. He would express when he had displeasure. But the people of faith, the people of Corinth, knew that Paul's motives were genuine and his desire were for them to be their best. Such was his gift to the church and a call for us as people of faith to be those that others trust, to embody God's love as we seek to serve them. And when we have to be tough, always grapple it and combine it with love. Isn't that what the psalmist meant? When the psalmist David said in that familiar passage to many of us in Psalm 23, your rod, O God, and your staff, they comfort me. When we think of the staff, that was the guiding love that led the sheep. But at times, if the staff didn't lead, he would have to bring forth the rod of correction and discipline. Love of our Lord is a love of guidance, a love of nurturing, a love of the staff of direction. Another gift of leadership that Paul touches on in his example, that Paul says that leaders should be givers. First and foremost, our role as those who seek to serve others is, in fact, to be that, servants of others. We don't lead so that we will be served. In the great book of order of our church, when your elders take on ordination, when I, as your pastor, take on ordination, we embrace this vow. Our role of leadership is not to lord it over others, but to be first to serve the larger church, right? That's the nature of leadership. You know, I've worked within organizations before, charitable organizations, where sometimes the most vocal opposition are the ones who give the smallest amounts of their time, the smallest amounts of their treasure. They really only give opinions and excuses and complaints. But true leaders are the ones who give of themselves. You know what I found in my work throughout years of philanthropy is the most generous people are also the most gracious people. They don't have demands. They want to give of themselves. Friends, that's leadership. We have a church filled with leaders. Givers. Givers of your time. Givers of your treasure. Givers to this community. And friends, that gives me joy to serve with you. That's the spirit of leadership. When we're first to give. Paul embodied that. In the church in Corinth, we hear in this letter where Paul would not receive from them even financial assistance. He gave. I don't like that part too much, Leon. He gave of himself and inspired them to give to others. That's what leaders do. You know, there's a beautiful passage in Numbers chapter 7 where the people Israel are preparing to go over into the promised land. They're preparing there at Mount Sinai to make the journey into the promised land. And before they do, Moses gathers, and it's chronicled in this way. Moses gathers the leaders of the faith. And he brings forth the leaders from each family. Those who were trusted. Those who would help them through tough times. And each of the leaders, it says to us, brought forth offerings to share for God's glory. They too understood that leaders are the ones who give the most of themselves for those that they lead. Also, Paul tells us that most importantly in this passage of Scripture, leaders are those who understand their dependence upon God's grace, their need for God to do what they can. Surely that's what Paul is saying in verse 15 of our text today when he says everything that we go through, the good and the bad, is for our sake, and we can endure through the grace of God and help it to expand to more and more people. Paul understood that to lead a people, to lead a community, to lead a family or a team or an organization, friends, he and we need God's grace and strength from on high. It's our only hope, yes, for salvation. And it's our only hope to serve this world to the glory of the Father. You know, that passage I referenced in number 7. As the people Israel are preparing to journey into the promised land, just prior to their crossing over, this is where God commissioned Aaron to offer these words of blessing to the people Israel. As they're preparing to meet adversity, trials, and tribulation. You see, Paul references that in our text today. We've known trials. We've known hardships. Paul is telling the church it will not be easy. And friends, that's when we need leadership most of all, isn't it? When we go through tough times. We need those we can trust. We have to turn to those who love us. We embrace those who will be tough with us when times of adversity are upon us. Such was the case as the people Israel were preparing to cross over into the promised land. And here is what God gifted them with. He said, Aaron, when you gather the people, give them this blessing, this gift of grace, that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His gaze upon you and give you peace this day and forever. Friends, Paul, the leader of our faith, like the people Israel before him entering God's holy gift to them, understood that we are people of grace. May we go forth and be leaders for our Lord as we share His love in all we do. Amen.